Hello everyone and welcome to the Between the Stripes LOI podcast Christmas special for 2018. I'm Kieran Burke and I'm joined once again by my good friend and co-host John Breyer. John, loving the Christmas jumper.
Thanks very much. Well, obviously you can't see it. But
our Facebook Live viewers have just seen it.
But yeah, exactly. And you got a bit of merchandise from Longford Town Club shop there. Nice hoodie there, mate.
Yeah, thanks. I've explained the plug already for that on the Facebook Live. So check it out on Between the Stripes Facebook page. But John, so much to get through tonight on our Christmas special. It's great to be back, I have to say. Obviously we're going to kick off in a moment by talking about the big talking point in the league while we've been away for the last 2 months or so, and that's been Stephen Kenny's departure. Obviously there's been John Delaney's comments on the league and a potential breakaway. We've had the fixtures released today. We're going to run through the big transfers that have happened, and you have a nice little free agents list there for us to look at too, so that'll be interesting. And we've got some cracking interviews, I have to say. We're joined tonight by Harry Kenny, new Pats manager, Alan Murphy, Galway manager, Pat Flynn, League of Ireland legend, of course. Dylan McGlaid, who is currently a free agent, but Longford fans will be waiting eagerly to hear what Dylan has to say about his future. And we're going to be joined by James Rogers, who is a Dundalk journalist, and he'll be giving us the lowdown on Dundalk. That's where we're going to start, John, because I was up in Dundalk at the weekend. I'm going to be spending Christmas up there this year. I've been speaking to a lot of supporters up there recently. I'm getting the sense there's a bit of chaos around the club for the first time. I think it's fair to say that this period now is the first major test for Peak Six. Not only have they lost Stephen Kenny, the recruitment process, I think it's fair to say, has taken a lot longer than people would expected. But on top of that, they have no sponsor. That was a huge gaffe from what I'm hearing, the way they've lost that sponsorship of Fifes, who had been with them for 7 years, I think I'm right in saying. And that means there can be no merchandise sales over Christmas because they don't have a sponsor on the jersey.
Yeah, that's a big mistake, I think, you know, because let's face it, Dundalk, it's a heavy hitter of a team in our league, and they would have earned a lot through kit sales and things. They did very well with the retro kits, I think. That sold out very quickly, didn't it?
Sold out in 20 minutes, yeah.
But let's take it one step at a time. We'll talk about, losing the sponsorship, because you think with them being league champions, carrying on into Europe, that would have carried on. But it was a fairly quick pulling of the plug, wasn't it?
Yeah, our first interview tonight is going to be with James Rogers. We'll play that in a couple of minutes. All the interviews tonight were pre-recorded. Obviously, it's Christmas, so it's very hard to get people on at a set time. So we've had to do it during the week. So if you're wondering why John isn't speaking much tonight, it was myself carrying out these interviews. But I've spoken to James Rogers, and from what he understands, obviously, he's a local journalist. There is no sponsor in the pipeline at the moment to replace Fifes, and he said there is a very, very real chance the club could start the season without a sponsor, which would be a huge embarrassment, he claims, not just for Dundalk but for the league. Double champions without a sponsor.
I remember this happening with the Oval, and the actual club shot, the team photo shoot were done, and they had no shirts on, none of them. I think they'd all been in the gym before, just to highlight the fact they had no sponsor. What a mess, yeah. So
I don't think things are going to get that bad, I hope.
No, I don't think so.
They can always rock out in that retro jersey. It is beautiful. I'd love to get my hands on one, but I don't think there's much chance of that happening.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that'll get sorted out at some stage. I would have hoped, you know, they're a big enough hitter, and you can see the commercial benefits for a company to go in partnership with Dundalk. As for the
manager situation?
Yeah. Well, look, I think there's been a lot of players re-signed, and let's face it, the first question that a player is going to ask is, who's the manager? Mm. They must have had some, I think it's just going to be, it is going to be Vinnie Perth. He might not have the Badgers, but I think there'll be a figurehead who will be there with the Badgers to take to in name, but it'd be assisting Vinnie Perth. These players wouldn't have re-signed unless, and also the contracts wouldn't have gone out unless
there was some degree of something there,
Certainty at that club.
Well, I'm sure most of our listeners have seen the exclusive we broke on Saturday on Between the Stripes Die. It's that John Gill has been contacted regarding a return, and further to that, I understand today that he has been in talks with Dundalk FC, official talks now on returning. Still unclear what his role will be, whether he's going to be given the title of a manager or whether he's going to be given the title of director of football.
Yeah.
So a little bit of confusion there. Obviously, local reports suggest that Dundalk did look for dispensation off the FAI to have Vinnie Perth as manager, even though he doesn't have the pro licence, but there was very little chance of that ever happening. So it's going to be an interesting one to see how that plays out, John. But let's go to our first interview tonight. It's Dundalk FC reporter James Rogers.
So I'm delighted to say we're joined on the podcast now tonight by our Dundalk FC reporter. It's, of course, the Irish Times journalist. It's James Rogers. James, you're very welcome to our Christmas special.
Thanks for having me. And just before we start, I'd like to say well done on the podcast all year. I'd be a regular listener, I suppose, and I know a lot of hard work goes into these things. And
So we're kicking off the show tonight, as you can guess, by talking about Dundalk. This is our Christmas special, so we've been away for a couple of months now. The big, massive news story in the League of Ireland, as everyone knows, Stephen Kenny's departure from Dundalk to take over initially the Republic of Ireland under-21s until 2020, and then post-Euro 2020, Stephen Kenny will replace Mick McCarthy. What is the initial reaction on that, James? I imagine a hint of sadness, but you must be proud to see Stephen Kenny, after all his achievements, going on to finally achieve his dream of managing Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose it's a double-edged sword up here where, you know, in one sense, everyone's delighted to see him. It's been, I suppose, a long-term ambition of his. I've seen, there's actually an interview done when he was managing Longford as a 27-year-old surfaced recently, and he mentioned even back then, 20 years ago, the Ireland job was his dream. And I suppose a lot of people say these things and, you know, you never fulfil them. So when the job was put in front of him, I suppose it's very hard to turn it down. But of course, given all he's done for Dundalk FC and the town in general, you know, everyone's kind of sad to see him go, but you know, you can't begrudge him this opportunity. It's a fantastic chance. And I was speaking to him even the weekend there, and he said himself, you don't get asked this a second time. So, you know, he's had his opportunity now, and we wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, and of course, he leaves Dundalk FC on a very, very solid footing, both in terms of the players there that are signed up for next season and financially as well. Obviously, the European money is still there. All the talk has been about who will be the replacement. Have you heard anything on that?
Well, it's ongoing, and hopefully we might know something more this week. I suppose it's no secret that Vinnie Peart, who is Stephen's assistant, is going to be heavily involved in whatever the new setup is. There is talk of John Gill, as you guys broke yourselves at the weekend, and it looks like he could possibly be involved as well. I think that the overall sense is that, you know, Vinnie's been there alongside him for the last 6 years. He's done very well. Okay, he's a bit unproven, but, you know, he knows the setup, he knows the players, and he's probably earned his go with it. And unfortunately, there is the pro licence thing to get around, but maybe that's where John Gill can sort of get around that, maybe bump in the road, shall we say.
Yeah, I suppose the other alternative option for the club, they may have examined it, they may not, we don't know, but was the opportunity to bring in a big name manager with a job like this. There was always going to be some high profile names applying from both here in Ireland and the UK. But I think the supporters probably feel, I'm right in saying, James, that maybe Vinnie Peart and continuing the work that was done under Stephen Kenny is probably the way to go.
Yeah, like, I mean, with all due respect to the other managers in the league, I don't think there was an outstanding manager out there. I mean, there is managers that were mentioned in relation to it, the likes of Keith Long, Collie O'Neill, and I think it would be a gamble, as big a gamble as Vinnie Peart, to maybe go for someone like them, because with all due respect, you know, they're doing it at a slightly lower level. I suppose if you look at the league table, realistically, John Caulfield or Stephen Bradley aren't taking the job. So I suppose it did leave the option of maybe do the look abroad, but then you're dealing with a manager who probably doesn't know the league. And I think the big thing for Dundalk now is, with all due respect to the league, I think, Peak Six came in roughly this time last year, and their ambition is qualification in Europe. And if, as investors, that's the only way they're ever going to get money back on their investment as well. And will a new manager play the style that has done well and served Dundalk well in Europe? And listen, Vinnie Peart could go in there and completely change the way the team plays, who knows? But he's been part of it. He's been doing the video analysis for European matches. He's been part of the setup, working on the training field. And you're probably as likely to get that style of football from him as anyone.
Is it fair to say this is now the first major test for Peak Six and their ownership of the club? Losing Stephen Kenny was a big enough of a challenge as it is, but in recent weeks as well, we've had Dundalk FC losing their long-time sponsors, Fife.
Yeah, I think I remember after the cup final saying, you know, they're like the guys who bought the Ferrari and haven't actually taken it for a spin yet, because they hadn't really been tested. I think the bulk of last season's squad were put together prior to them coming in, and, you know, they inherited a fairly settled team. who were hungry for success anyway, with a manager who was doing pretty much anything to get there. Okay, I'll not take away from they give players longer contracts and all that, but that's something we'll see the benefit of down the line maybe. But I think losing the sponsor is a big blow, because I suppose the timing of it is bad, because you're now at Christmas when there's a merchandise shop open in Dundalk here, and you know, you're selling outdated kits, you're missing that opportunity for people to buy tickets, and like season tickets haven't been given out yet. The jersey, I think, is a big thing for people. I think it's a great Christmas present to get, and now you're in a situation where if and when a new sponsor does come in, you know, you're trying to sell a jersey to them in January or February when money's maybe a bit tighter. So it is a big test for them now to see, can they get someone in? I'm led to believe there's no one in the pipeline, which I think it would be a serious own goal if the, you know, not just for Dundalk, but for the league in general, if the double winning champions and Champions League representatives don't attract a sponsor to start a season. I think that, you know, that you want to see companies get involved in this league and giving it backing, and well, hopefully they'll pull something out of the bag.
And on top of that, James, as well, with each passing season, you're going to see more and more pressure from fans on the Peak Six owners in terms of the stadium, because still there's no updates on that. Have you heard anything on that? And in terms of the feeling on the ground in Dundalk, is that a growing frustration, and is that something we're going to see a lot more, I suppose, commentary on in the coming seasons if there's no movement on that?
Well, it is, I suppose, you know, there's no secret, Oriel Park, you know, needs work. And if you look just at what's happening in the general area of the northeast, there's a new stadium or an upgraded stadium happening now in Park Talton and Navan. Talk of now, I believe it's well down the road and a good bit of distance away, but Drogheda United obviously had their announcement this year, and then even this week Louth GAA are getting a new stadium in Dundalk. So that's three of the, I suppose, big sporting entities in the northeast area, and Dundalk are the one that seems to be nothing happening. Now I know there's an investment going into the Youth Development Centre in terms of helping the players prepare and all that, but that doesn't benefit the guy who goes up there on a Friday night maybe with his kids or his family or meet mates or wants to just watch a game. So it is something they have teased, but I suppose with everything going on between Stephen Kenny leaving, the sponsorship, as you mentioned, it's kind of got pushed under the carpet. And realistically, you know, we're sitting here now a week before Christmas, and you know, I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now, because you have your fixtures out tomorrow and you're realistically only maybe 6-7 weeks then away from the start of the season.
Yeah, we'll speak about the release of the fixtures tomorrow. By the time this airs, people will be aware of the fixtures. So I might just ask you in a moment who you fancy in that first game of the season. But in terms of contract situations, even though Stephen Kenny has departed, Dundalk have been able to get business done. Robbie Benson signed a new deal, Dan Massey has signed a new deal, and Ross Tracy today, the third choice goalkeeper, he signed a new deal. But in terms of Stephen O'Donnell, there's reports coming out that maybe there's a bit of a staggering point there.
I think, well, to be fair to Stephen, I think they do want him back on board. He got married recently, enough, and he was on honeymoon and stuff like that, so I just think that's more logistics as much as anything else. I know initially when Stephen left, there was a bit of stalling in terms of you know, getting a few deals over the line, including Dan Massey, but I would expect to see Stephen back on board. And look, there's no doubt Stephen Kenny's a massive loss, but he's left the club in a great position. I think, you know, like, it's not that long ago, a bit cliched maybe at this point, but like, you look back to 2012 and the club was nearly out of business, and he's left them in a position now where there's money in the bank, a very good squad assembled there. Like, you know, I know he is a loss, but this is still a group of players who, you know, won the league with record points, record goals scored last season. They're going to be hungry to repeat that and build on it, and certainly with Europe in mind. And, you know, it's probably better it happened now maybe than a week into the season or a week before the season, where they do have these few months to get a new system in place and go again.
Final two questions, James. As I said, who do you fancy in the opening game of the season when the fixtures are released? And secondly, where do you see the main challenge coming in the league this season? Shamrock Rovers seem to have strengthened quite well, maybe still missing a striker. Obviously, there's reports that they're looking at Joe Gormley from the Northern Irish Football League. The Cork squad, a lot of change there. Waterford, people will be expecting a lot more again from them this season. Where do you see the main challenger coming from?
Yeah, well, I suppose if you're looking, it's hard, I suppose, really to predict at this stage when squads are still so incomplete, but you only have to be impressed by what Shamrock Rovers have done. You know, Jack Byrne, if he fulfills the potential we all know he has, you know, he's a serious addition. Aaron McInniff, he probably had a bit of a step back in terms of, you know, his own standards last year, but going to Rovers now, maybe he can, you know, fulfil them. And they did have a very good, strong end to the season as well. So I do think maybe it's a big ask in terms of making up the points that were missing last year. But as you say, if they do add a striker, and it's no secret they are looking for that, that could be, you know, they could be the serious challengers, I think.
Yeah, and we have the St. Pat manager, Harry Kenny, on the show tonight. Their squad is coming along nicely too, but is it too early maybe for the Saints to be considering a title challenge next season?
It would be a big ask, definitely would, but I've been impressed by what Harry has done and who he's signed, and definitely I'd expect him to probably maybe underachieved a little bit in recent seasons, and but going to the full-time setup now and based on what he's put together, and I kind of like Harry as a manager. From, you know, he did well at Bray there a couple of years ago, and I think maybe Europe could be a realistic push for them, but it's hard to see for me in terms of the title that being beyond the three that were there last year. I think even Waterford, while their squad's slightly incomplete at the minute as well, I think, you know, they have the distraction of Europe this year and have to deal with that, and sometimes you get the second season syndrome. So I think a good season for them could be Europe again if they can manage that. But I think realistically, Dundalk, Cork, Shamrock Rovers, it's hard to see beyond that three challenging.
James, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show this season. Thanks for all your great comments on Dundalk FC. Merry Christmas to yourself and everyone up around Oriel Park.
Thanks very much, Kieran, and same to you.
Good interview there with James Rogers, Kieran. Was there any truth in about Paul Clements? There was some talk of him being spotted, I think. And there's a link with Swansea and Peak Six, is there?
One of the guys involved with Peak Six, as far as I know, has a connection to Swansea. But no, as far as I know, there was no truth in that. The day that Paul Clement was allegedly spotted in Dundalk for an apparent
meeting. I love these rumours. These are great. Yeah,
the day he was spotted for the apparent meeting, I know Gavin McLaughlin from Dundalk Sport, who would be as reliable as you get when it comes to Dundalk news, he said there was no chance there was a meeting because the Peak Six guys had left at 8 o'clock that morning. So that was just rubbish. And I think the bookies have made a fair bit of money throwing in some random names. We had Steve Staunton, who's his odds slashed from something like 16s down to 4s. We had Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank in there. So they've made a few quid off throwing in a few random names. But
no spotting of Jose Mourinho yet in Dundalk?
Oh, I heard he was down the Roma having a curry cheese chip last night. But look, John, we'll move along and we'll speak about another.
That's a bit different to the Lowry food, I would say.
we'll speak about another John Delaney, because obviously his comments while we've been away over the last couple of months have really captured the attention of League of Ireland fans. It seems that a breakaway is moving ever closer. What's your thoughts on that? As a League of Ireland fan, do you feel we're better served staying under the FAI umbrella? Would the league been run by the clubs? Would that be chaos?
It could be. Firstly, I thought it was a very strange thing for Delaney to come out with, to be honest, because it's almost admitting like that he's struggling with the league.
Mm.
You know, that, you know, he might want to get somebody else. It's almost like it's a franchise, isn't it? When you look at it that
way.
Well,
he did admit they've struggled with the league. Yeah. He said, we could have done more, but we've done the best we can. Not good enough, obviously, from a League of Ireland fan's point of view.
Well, how many times have we talked about prize money, even just for starters?
I think it's very, very clear what John Delaney has been doing the last couple of months. The pressure came not on Martin O'Neill, but he wasn't expecting the pressure to come on him. And when the Ireland fans started protesting, he said, right, I need to do something here. I'm going to sack Martin O'Neill.
Yep.
I'll bring in Mick McCarthy. He's going to be popular with the fans. And I'll bring in Stephen Kenny because he's going to be popular with the League of Ireland fans. So that sorted that. And now he's looking at, what's my other big criticism I'm receiving? It's the League of Ireland. I'll shift that somewhere else. Yeah, I'm going to shift the problem child off somewhere else. And I'll see myself through to 2020. I'll get elected by UEFA. That is the way John Delaney is thinking, as far as I can see.
Okay, who's going to run it? Is it going to be something headed up by the likes of Niall Quinn or something like that? Or do you think it might be a conglomerate from the clubs, which could be...
No. I've heard a lot of Niall Quinn stuff. He's had a long, long time to go and get involved in the League of Ireland if he wishes. He has no interest in the League of Ireland. Niall Quinn has interest in one thing. That's Niall Quinn.
He's a few quid.
Invest it then. There's loads of clubs he could have invested in. He decided to go to Sunderland. Nothing wrong with that, but why not invest in the League of Ireland club? He is only thinking of himself.
So who runs the league then, Kieran?
What I would like to see ideally happen, but logistically and structurally, it's very difficult to do because it all comes back to finances. What I would like to see is, like we have in England, the Premier League is separate from the FA. The Premier League is run by the Premier League. It has its own marketing, its own budget and all that. The League of Ireland needs to be a separate association from the FAI. We need to have a marketing team. We need to have the league being able to bring in its own sponsorship deals, do its own TV deals, etc. But obviously you need someone to do that, maybe someone coming in with the view to making profit. So is there profit to be made on the League of Ireland? We don't know. It's very,
there's
very
no
difficult.
Money in the current TV deal, in my understanding. No. Is. No. So
it's costing clubs money, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Clubs are scraping just to get by. Mm. And I don't think there's many clubs out there where the bank balance is too hot, healthy, to be honest. Yeah. So until we get any kind of certainty as to what this looks like, I can't see Delaney just throwing it out with no stability there or anything like that. I know you're smiling at that, but he's not gonna do that and completely blow it away.
I'm going
to
into
pieces.
Complete negative mode here in terms of thinking the worst, but John Delaney throws it away and the FAI throw it away to somebody else and it collapses and it goes to absolute dog's dirt. All John Delaney has to say, well, look, the FAI kept us stable for so long and you all criticised the job we done.
There is that, but I just can't see it being handed over until there is something structurally in place.
You have a lot of faith in the FAI.
Well, I just think...
You haven't been following this league as long as some of our listeners, I think.
I know, but I just think it's... It would look horrendous on the FAI if they were to just throw it in the bin and just expect somebody to pick it up.
It's very difficult. And then, obviously, we'll touch on this now as well. We have the news from UEFA of this third European competition coming in. So, no announcement yet on prize money, how that's going to work. Positive or negative for the league?
Well, for me, it's positive. The more teams in Europe and the more prize money options there, I think...
Do you not think we're settling for less, though, by saying our teams aren't good enough to go and get into the Europa League? It's only happened twice would be the argument to that, but are we setting the bar too low now and accepting the fact?
You're still going to see a team in the Champions League, a team in the Europa League, and then a couple of teams in, let's call it the Intertoto or whatever.
Europa League 2.
Okay, well, it's going to be the same as the Inter 2 Bob or something, or whatever it was before. But, you know, for me, the more the better, but it all depends on the money structure as well, which...
3:30 or 4 p.m. kickoffs on a Thursday afternoon. I'm not sure how it's going to work.
Well, yeah, it's... I'm going to watch them be at work.
BTS TV.
Yeah.
We might put an old contract into UEFA, see how it goes.
But look, I thought, you know, go back to the old structure with a cup winner's cup. That's what I thought they were going to be doing. But to me, it just looks like yet another safety for the top team.
Yeah.
Lose a match down into Europa League. Lose a match down into Europa League 2 or whatever they want to call it.
The UEFA have made it much, much harder over the last couple of years for the likes of Dundalk to ever even think about reaching the group stage of the Champions League. The money has gone up and up and up for the big clubs. So what they're doing, they're throwing the small clubs a bone here and there to keep them in line. This is what this is, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. Not saying it's going to be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. We won't really be able to judge more until we see the exact structure, the exact prize money structure. But for me, you should always be aiming as a club to try and be the best you can be. And if we're now been told you're not good enough to get into Europa League, you're going to be in Europa League 2. I think from a sporting perspective, it's not necessarily the best thing in the world. But it all comes back to finances.
We just don't know. It's structures and finances, Kieran. We don't know how it's going to work. If it means that the top two cup competitions stay similar and there's a third one added with a couple of extra teams qualifying for it, then I'm all in favour of it. It'll just replace the Iron Brew Cup, won't it?
I'm loving the Iron Brew Cup.
That'll qualification will just drop a couple of places for that. But the more the merrier for me.
Let's move back to domestic matters. The fixtures were released today.
Yeah.
We'll run through the opening day fixtures in the Premier Division first. So, John, if you want to take us through them.
It's not been kind on the new boys, has it? I mean, Harps have straight up an away trip to Bohemians. I mean... that's probably not what they wanted to kick off with. And UCD, away trip to Derry.
Tough.
Yeah, that is tough. I know we've talked about Derek, but I mean, it's a new season and it's still the Brandywell, and it's a tough old trip for UCD.
We'll be talking about transfers in a few minutes, but UCD will be going up and facing one of their former boys there, Greg Sloggett, who's moved to Derry recently.
They will, yeah. That'll be a loss for UCD. Dundalk hosts Sligo.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Obviously, Dundalk will be seeing what the new vision is for the club there, and Sligo have certainly strengthened, so I don't think we'll see a 5-0 like we did towards the end of last year there.
Yeah, you're not going to talk to me about Project DNA again, are you?
For any of our listeners there that aren't aware what John is ribbing me about there, we just had a bit of a barony on Facebook Live about Galway's Project DNA. So
what did I call it? Bollocksology, I think, if I'm allowed to say that.
You've slipped it in now. So.
It's nonsense, isn't it? But anyway, we'll carry on before I go off on one. Pats host Cork, that's the standout one for me.
Yeah, always a good game between those two sides, usually quite high scoring, and with the signings Pats have made, some people might make them favourites for that game.
Yeah, could be. I expect them to do better this season. But
I expect them to do very well. I think they're going to be right up in them European places.
Yeah, I know you like Harry Kenny as well. He should do well there.
And, interview with him coming up shortly now.
Yeah, and Waterford against Shamrock Rovers, two teams we would be thinking we might want to be pushing on from their positions last season.
Yeah, a little bit disappointed with Waterford's business so far, but Rovers, if they can get a striker, I think they could be very, very close next season.
Yeah.
We will move on to the First Division in a moment, but what we're going to do now, John, we're going to bring you our interview with the St. Pat's manager, Harry Kenny. Okay, so I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line now by the new manager of St. Patrick's Athletic Football Club. It's, of course, the former Bray Wanderers manager, Harry Kenny. Harry, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, Harry, you've been certainly busy in the pre-Christmas period. Some big names coming to St. Pat's. Most notably, I suppose, would be Mikey Drennan, Gary Shaw, Brandon Amelia. But you've also managed to hold on to young talent there like Jamie Lennon. So you must be pleased with how the squad is coming along for next season now.
Yeah, we're nearly there with the squad. As you rightly say, I'm delighted with who the club had retained, first and foremost, before I arrived. And then the signings adding to that will complete the squad. Looking forward to the new season.
Yeah, you mentioned the job that was done before your arrival. Obviously, J. O'Brien took control towards the end of the season. How important is that stability going to be with yourself coming in there, a fresh face to the club?
That was very important. There's some key players that were signed up before I arrived, Clarkey, obviously, in goals. There were two full-backs, Simon and Bermo, who have both loads of experience. Kevin Tone, who had a good season last season. Expect him to kick on as well. And then there's other local players like Lee Desmond and Jamie, as you mentioned earlier. They were up before I arrived, so I think that's about 6 or 7. So it's a matter of adding another sort of 10 to 12 to that to complete the squad.
And Harry, like many clubs last season, St. Pat's struggled for, a consistent goal getter at times. But as I've said, you've brought in Mikey Drennan, you've brought in Gary Shaw. Are you hopeful that that partnership in particular can be a big asset for St. Pat's next season?
Oh, I hope so, yeah. Yeah, we definitely didn't score enough goals last season, and I'm hoping that the two books can rectify that situation, Gary and Mikey, particularly supply maybe from the few names that you mentioned there. We've got a good attacking force at this moment in time with James Duna, Clarkey, who was there last season as well, nice bit of pace, and then Brandon Melia, who's very creative. So there's also Darren Markey, who was very creative as well. So I've got a lot of options, which is great to have, and it keeps people on their toes, and it's very good for competition, obviously.
And one name I haven't mentioned yet is, of course, Cian Coleman, who's come in from Limerick. What qualities in particular was it that you that attracted you to him?
Cian is very young. He's early 20s. He was with Cork when they went on that good European run. Went on to Cove Ramblers and had a very good season there. Limerick then, and he played most games, if not games, in Limerick last season. Just felt that coming into Pats, we needed a bit more aggression and a bit more energy around the midfield, and he'll certainly bring that to the club.
And look, Harry, what's the goal? I'm sure you're probably not going to tell us, but for next season, it's been a difficult couple of years for Pats, but it's always a club you associate with pushing for Europe and Cup success as well down the years. So is that the goal for next season, a good run in the Cup and hopefully a push for Europe?
I think so, yeah. The club were just outside European spot last season, finishing in fifth position. And had he got forward, it obviously would have brought him a European place. But if we move up the table, one or two spots, we'll obviously, as you know yourself, there's nothing guaranteed in this league, and everyone is strengthening up going into the new season. So it'll be very difficult to improve on last season, but we would like to think that we'd be challenging for Europe, certainly.
And I'm sure you won't thank me for bringing this up, but of course you're a man with great links to Shamrock Rovers. You're in the hot seat now at St. Pat's. Has there been any comments made about that in the dressing room yet?
Well, we haven't got to the changing room just yet, but I've had plenty of comments at home.
And Harry, can we expect much more business in the coming weeks and months?
Not really. Oh, I'm nearly complete at this stage. Maybe one or two if they become available, but I'm happy with what we've done over the last couple of weeks.
And finally, Harry, obviously the big news in recent weeks has been Stephen Kenny leaving Dundalk and getting his chance with Ireland in the coming years. As a League of Ireland manager now, you're going into a big job at St. Pat's. As you said, you're hoping maybe to get a chance to eventually get into Europe. Is Kenny's appointment to Ireland a bit of an inspiration for League of Ireland managers?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's very, very good. I mean, we did give Noel King a handout at one stage with the 21s, and I know how difficult them groups can be. With the availability of players and all that thing, it's very, very tough.
Harry, been a pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and happy Christmas to yourself and the family.
Same to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Harry. So great to hear from the new Pats manager, Harry Kenny there. John, some interesting comments. But we'll go and turn our attention now to the First Division and the opening fixtures also released today. And we'll start with the game between Athlone and Wexford. They've been the two bottom sides in recent years. But I think it's fair to say Athlone, they look a lot more organised in this stage of pre-season than they have in previous years.
Well, it seems to have a squad together already, Kieran, and a nice new pitch.
Yeah, 4G pitch gone in. I know I had a little few jabs at the club last season.
That's regarding... just because they're rivals, Kieran.
No, but there was a lot of talk about this pitch and how it's going to totally transform the club. Now, I'm delighted to say that I've been in contact with Athlone, and I'm going to be going over there personally in the new year. I'm sure you've all seen the announcement on our website about Between the Stripes TV launching in the new year. Going to be going over there and conducting a couple of interviews with people at the club regarding the pitch and just the vision for the club going forward, because as I've said, there does seem to be a bit more structure there. 18 signings made so far, some quite impressive ones too, I have to say, some promising young players, and Aaron Brilley has re-signed there as well. Wexford, on the other hand,
if you remember when we were talking about Athlone the last season, we were talking about X Factor, weren't we? And we had gone around to judges' houses and things like that. It was a shambles. So it's good to see some stability there.
The word shambles. When I think of the word shambles, I think of a few things. But the first thing that's come to mind this year, and especially now in the last couple of weeks, what I've been reading online, what I've been seeing, it's Wexford FC. Complete and utter shambles. No players in or out announced at the club. Supporters online are going absolutely ballistic. They said they haven't a clue what's going on at the club. One of them that I know quite well made a very good point. He was regarding the season tickets. He says, am I hell paying €100 for a season ticket when you haven't announced a single player? What is going on at Wexford, John?
Nobody knows. And that is the problem. It's just a lack of communication, lack of organisation, and there's no transparency.
And don't get me wrong, I don't want to sound like I'm hammering the volunteers of the club here, because I know quite a few of them and they love their club. But, I mean, for a club that could barely draw 100 people in the gate last year, you need to try and do something a bit different. You need to try and get yourself out there into the community of Wexford. Like, I mean, you have some big towns down there, a big catchment area. The facilities, I know people say it's very out of the way, but it's not the worst you've ever seen.
No.
I mean, there's nothing from the club in terms of online presence. I made the point the other day on my own account, at Kieran BTS, if anyone wants to give me a follow and talk League of Ireland anytime. I was looking at tweets that Wexford fans were putting up, and I said that they literally could be a copy and paste job from some of the stuff I was saying in 2016 about Longford Town, when the club would never announce a signing online, they'd never thank a player that might be leaving. You'd be finding out players are leaving through other sources and through players' own accounts. And the whole thing was just, there was no buzz, no life around the club. It was very hard to see any vision going forward. Now, thankfully, that's changed at Longford, and you can see that with the awards they got from the FAI in terms of social media, pitch of the year. There's great stuff going on around the club. Wexford, on the other hand, they just look to be in a dark hole at the minute, and I can only see things getting worse this season. I think they'll be the bottom club this season.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Athlone look a bit more stable, and Wexford,
Yeah, Wexford fans, if you're listening, if you think we've been overly harsh on your club, please do get in touch. We're very easy to find. Our Twitter account is @BetweenStripes, and we're on facebook.com/BetweenTheStripes. And leave us a comment on what is actually going on at Wexford, because nobody seems to know.
Let's move on anyway to the next fixture. We've got Cabo hosting Bray. Bray look like they're going to be one of the big two to... You know, they're one of the two favourites for me for this division.
Again, I made the point online yesterday that a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people were talking about Bray as, you know, what's going on at Bray? Is it simply going to be a nursery next year? Is it just going to be a club that's going to blood young players in the first division and just plod along? But no, they have brought in some really impressive players, particularly Paul Keegan from Waterford. That's a great sign in
this
terms of experience.
This is Gaz Cronin saying, my managerial career starts now.
Exactly.
Forget last year, we were in a mess. Excuse me, and we were going down anyway, so, but this is me now, this is going to be my team, you take a watch and see how we do.
Yeah, Gabriel Sava as well, they've got the spine there now, don't choke on me, John.
No, I'm trying not to.
That's all them sweets, Christmas sweets.
I think so.
But yeah, Sava, great spine there, they've brought in Derek Daly from Waterford, I mean, that's more experience at the back. Paul Keegan, we've mentioned. I suppose they just need a couple of attacking players to come in there now to really wind things up. In terms of Cabinteely, a little bit like Wexford, there's not much information on them at the moment, but you'd expect a better showing than last season.
Drogheda against Cove, Kieran. Drogheda, again, they'll be looking to do well this season.
Yeah, they've made some decent signings. They've lost one or two as well. Obviously, Kieran Kelly is the most notable one there. But I think they'll be in or around where they were last year, John. I'd be fancying them to push for that second place. You've mentioned Bray. I think it will be... We're going to speak about Shells in a minute. In all honesty, I think Shells are going to run away with it. But I think after that, Drogheda and Bray will be your next closest. From a Cove point of view, they're starting to re-sign a lot of players. It's going to be a young squad again. But I think Stephen Henderson knows, apart from obviously that League Cup run last season, that they did underperform in the league. I think they'll be a lot higher up the league this season, and they'll be aiming for that fourth place. Whether they just fall short or not, wait to see, but I think Cove will be a lot more competitive in the first division.
And our own Longford Town, they travel to Limerick. That's an interesting start to the season.
Yeah, in terms of, I suppose, an away trip, it's a bit of a trek. But Limerick have lost a lot of players.
Disaster last season, really, wasn't it?
People are going to think I'm a right Grinch, but I'm going to go on another bit of a rant now about two of their signings that they've made. Robbie Williams from Galway, and now we've mentioned his... you're laughing already. And I'm not saying this to try and be cruel or anything, but he is a semi-professional footballer. He's been paid by the club. He should at least go out and look like a footballer. He is in no physical condition to be playing first division football. And Sean Russell was an absolute disaster for Limerick the last time he played there.
I think he's got one good goal, didn't he?
He scored one good goal. He seems to do that everywhere he went. I remember in Longford he scored a screamer in pre-season, but that was pretty much the last we've seen of him. He's what I'd call a flaky player. If it's going well for him, he can do a few tricks out in the wing. He can bang one into the top corner. But if you hit him hard early on, he goes into a ball and he's out of the game for the rest of the night. So not impressed by Limerick signings. I think they're going to be a much, much weaker squad next season. When you compare it to the likes of Bray's signings, when you look at what Drogheda have in place already, and when you compare them to Shells, I think it's going to be a tough year for Limerick.
I agree. I can't see them bouncing back anyway, that's for sure. But as for Longford, I think they've gone a bit backwards as well, Kieran.
Yeah, I definitely think Longford are in a weaker position this time than they were last year. Losing Daniel O'Reilly, losing Sam Verdon, losing Mick Kelly, which is a huge blow. And at least Stacey looks to be a good replacement there. But in terms of Mick Kelly's distribution, he's actually one of the best goalkeepers I've ever seen in this league for distribution. Now, people will be laughing at me because he's a first division goalkeeper. But anyone that's watched him will know what I mean. I mean, he has this kick out of his hands where he can just hit a low flat
it's a
ball.
Flat ball, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just absolutely good, fantastic. And that's a huge asset Longford have lost. And considering the way Neil Fenn likes to get his players playing out from the back, that's a huge blow.
And finally, the pre-season, I think it's safe to say, pre-season favourites, Shelburne, they travel to Galway.
What signings they have made. The calibre of player they've brought into that club, particularly Conan Byrne. I mean, you're talking about a brilliant player, but you're also talking about someone that's fantastic in the dressing room, someone that is going to be good with young players, and he has the know-how and the knack of scoring big goals in big games. I'm really impressed what Shells have done.
Dan Byrne, you know, the
Premier Division player.
Two Brennans in, Oscar and Is it Ryan Brennan as well? Yeah. So I mean, there's all the names there.
Alex O'Hanlon has come in from Glentoran, former St. Pat's. He's got some great talent. If you can just find a way of bringing it out next season.
Yeah. So I mean, big names in there, and
they'll run away with it, John. I'm sorry to say, but I honestly think they'll run away with it next season.
Yep. The money's down already. Mm-hmm. I think Paddy's are paying out, are they? So
Galway.
Yes, Galway. Interview, Kieran.
Yeah, we're going to hear now from the, he's not the new Galway manager. He came in towards the tail end of last season, but this is going to be his first full season in charge of the Tribe. I'm delighted to say we're joined now by Alan Murphy. Okay, so I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by the man who will be leading Galway United in the First Division next season. It's, of course, their manager, Alan Murphy. Alan, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kieran. Hope all's good.
Alan, great to have you on. So as I said, it was a bit of a difficult time for Galway last season. You came in to replace Shane Keegan there, and I suppose your goal was just to steady the ship towards the end of the season. But from following the Galway United news online, there seems to be a lot of emphasis going into maybe a younger approach in terms of playing staff there next year. Maybe you could even start by telling us about the Galway United Project DNA that we're seeing so much about at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was a difficult season last season coming in at the time I came in. I suppose kind of the wheels were gone off a little bit in terms of performances and want. But I mean, yeah, really, this season is about kind of, I suppose, regaining our identity and starting from the bottom down. I thought bottom up really in terms of characters and identifying players that really want to represent Galway United in the League of Ireland. And yes, they'll be a part of our youth system and our 17s and 19s of the last 2 years. It'll be coming up and they'll be very much involved in that. But I still would hope that we'll have a good core of senior players as well that will be very much helping the younger guys mature and steadying the ship like that.
Yeah, I know one topic that's caused a bit of debate online recently has been the fact Galway United are holding open trials. It's not something you see too regularly. I know Athlone Town have done it in the past, but. Have those trials got underway yet, Alan? And if not, what kind of turnout are you expecting? And what type of player are you looking for Galway United next season?
Yeah, well, the open trials, to be brutally honest, was my own decision, and it has worked for me in the past at different times. So, I mean, it's very much about whether I have the time and and I'm willing to put the effort to look at these players. So, we'll have actually our second one this evening, and that we've brought forward players from again. So. I'm very confident that there will be individuals that will make the cut from the trials actually be very positive at the moment. So it's obviously wait for the space, but it's been definitely so far. It's been a worthwhile exercise.
And up to very very recently, of course, you were playing for West United locally there. Is that league of football a league you think that you could find players for? Is the standard of player in that league quite high?
Absolutely. I mean, I think in any league you'll find a gem or two in terms of players that want to step up in a level and just haven't got it there. And it's exactly the case in terms of Galway, Limerick, Mayo football. In terms of junior football, that there are players there that are looking to step up and that may even have been involved in the setup previously in League of Ireland setups and have that kind of hunger and ambition and want to get back in.
And in terms of, you've mentioned earlier that you're looking to get a couple of experienced players in alongside these young talents you have coming through. Can we expect to see any transfer business before Christmas or over the Christmas period?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I should be able to nail down hopefully a few senior players before Christmas. But as I say, I'm not hugely. There's no huge rush at the moment in terms of trying to find anyone. It's just it's whether the fit is right, because as I say, DNA, the Project DNA is very much about identifying the right characters and the proper professionals that have the character and the ambition to match what the club will have.
And in terms of that ambition, can you tell us maybe what the general goal might be for next season? Are you looking to get close to those playoff spots, or is it going to be a season of blooding in youth and getting that identity about Galway United that you've been speaking about there?
Well, obviously everyone will want to win the league once the league starts. But I mean, we have to be realistic as well. I mean, there's a lot of money being spent in the First Division this year, and we don't seem to be the ones that are spending it. So I mean, we have to be realistic. But I mean, once the season starts, we'll be putting a team on the pitch that will want to perform and will want to win every game. So I mean, It'll be a tricky one this season. I mean, at the moment, yes, it's about blood and the youth and that. But I mean, there's a good core of senior players that will want to be involved and want to be involved in a reasonably successful going out as a team that won't be lacking in terms of ambition. So I mean, it's very much a process of kind of balancing both.
I think you've been reading my notes, because my next question was going to be about the investment we're seeing at certain first division clubs, particularly Shelburne seem to be bringing in some very, very high calibre players. How difficult does that make it for clubs like Galway United to compete?
Well, possibly for this season alone, maybe it's going to be difficult to compete with obviously the Dublin catchment area and the players that are dropping down from the Premier Division to the First Division and the players that have signed for Shells. But, I mean, being honest as well, I'm taking this in more of a long-term view of 2 or 3 years in terms of stabilising the club and I'd say growing the club both on and off the pitch. And I mean, that's hugely important. The DNA project shows that, I mean, we can't have a quick fix approach anymore in Galway United in terms of trying to buy in success and bringing in players that don't fit the club. I mean, they don't fit the profile because they're gone again in 8 months' time, and it's kind of a... It's been a wasted journey for both sides, and I mean, that can't happen anymore. We need to, as I say, I'm harping on about it, we need to identify the proper individuals and we need to grow our own talent. So I mean, however long that takes, it's going to have to happen.
And in terms of the setup there for next season, without giving too much away, is it going to be a part-time setup in terms of three times a week training methods, and are we going to see a lot of players travelling to training, or are you going to try and go for a local base?
It'll be reasonably local based, but it will be players. They will need to have a job. I mean, that's at this present moment in time, that's very much within the project DNA. Also, that the players we're looking for need to have careers outside of football in terms of to be able to rely on. But in terms of the training schedules, it'll be a minimum of three times a week plus a game and a recovery at the weekend, which is five sessions. So I mean, it just depends on how you look at it in terms of being full-time or part-time. I suppose if you look at the GAA model, I mean, GAA players all tend to have jobs, but I mean, they probably argue that they're not full-time.
Alan, some great insight into Galway there, so we're going to let you go. But just before you do, one final question. We've had it in from a Galway United fan who we won't name, but he's looking to know, what was the biggest challenge in terms of coming into Galway last season? What was the biggest challenge you faced?
I suppose the biggest challenge for any manager that's coming in into a team in the middle of a season, even whether he's played for that team or not, is that I suppose unfortunately you didn't sign the players that are there. Like, so I mean, depending on, I mean, if you look at it one way, I mean, the players may not have the faith in what's going on, but I mean, also maybe you don't have the faith in them in terms of this. You've kind of seen it from within, and you see that the whole process needs a shake up, and some players need to be identified as in that they're probably not playing for the club, like, you know.
Alan, superb stuff. Thanks very much for joining us, and have a very happy Christmas.
Thanks, Kieran. Have a lovely Christmas. Take care.
So, Kieran, I always like in the off season, you know, all the transfer rumours and the likes, and you know, it's time for clubs to rebuild, but there's always a few silly season rumours as well. But look, we'll look at a few of the at how the clubs are stacking up so far, and whether we think they've strengthened or weakened.
Yeah,
and we're going to start off having a chat about Bowes. I think it's fair to say that they're the players that they've signed have. There's been very little so far, but I'd be more concerned about the players that's gone out. Yeah. It's a very shame to see Shane Supple retiring for a start.
Yeah, we had him on towards the tail end of last season. He didn't give us any indication of his upcoming retirement, but from reading his interview since then, it's been something he's been thinking about a while due to injury issues. And I met Chris Bennion last week at the Dundalk Legends game in Coohill, and was talking to him about Shane Supple, but he feels the goalkeepers they have there for next season he can do some good work with, and obviously Shane will be sadly missed, but he's optimistic for next season. But I'm just very disappointed for the players that they've lost, because they signed Darragh Leahy back on a two-year contract, and that looked like it was going to be the kickstart for more players to stay with Bowes after seasons and seasons of losing their best young players.
Yeah.
But they've lost Lunny, they've lost Dan Casey, Ian Morris has gone to be the manager of Shelburne, they've lost Supple, as we said, they've lost Dan Byrne, they've lost Oscar Brennan. So many big names gone out there.
We'll talk about Daniel Kelly as well. He was playing for Bolton under 23s,
yeah,
I believe.
And impressed by all reports, but a couple of media reports lately that Dundalk could be very, very close to signing him.
I think he favours that move because of the European matches.
I'm sure game time is probably more likely at Dundalk than it might be at Bolton.
The other youngster who you've really highlighted is lad Ali Regba.
I can't rave about this kid enough. And again, I was speaking to Benno about him, and he was the same. He said the physical condition of this young man is just like something he's never seen before.
BTS understands that Leicester have won the race to sign him ahead of Middlesbrough.
I wouldn't say they've won the race, but he impressed mightily over on trial with Leicester, and if he's going to go anywhere, probably will be Leicester. But he's going for a trial with Middlesbrough as well, and I think there's a couple of other English clubs that are looking to get him on trial, so
yeah.
he will be coming back to Ireland soon, and he'll have a decision to make then.
Leicester are the favourites,
but we've seen Dylan Watts go there before, and it just goes to show when a manager leaves, and that could very well happen at Leicester, when a manager leaves, the young players that are there that are up the pecking order automatically go straight back down again, because a new manager comes in, maybe a foreign manager, and they don't know the players, so it's a risky move.
Kieran, I love all these trials and things. I have to tell you this story, and I hope the listeners don't mind, but you know, when obviously big Yeovil fan, and there was a lad that was on trial at Crystal Palace, right. And he was coming down, obviously he was at Palace, and it was announced that he was coming down to trial at Yeovil, and obviously Palace at the time were a Premier League team. Fans getting very excited. Who's this lad side? Roddy Collins Jr. So it must have been Roddy. Must have had a word with Paul Sturrock, was the manager at the time. Anyway, Roddy Collins Jr. We're playing against, I think it was Truro. They do a tour of Cornwall, and they bring to much fanfare. Roddy Collins Jr. comes on at 45 minutes. He's hooked after another quarter of an hour. So that was the end of Roddy on trial at Yeovil.
Yeah, was it QPR as well, or somewhere he had a trial too when he was over there? He popped up in some very strange places. So yeah. Well done to Roddy.
Just funny how everybody got excited about it. And I was like, well, calm down, lads. Yeah. We'll talk about Cork anyway, because obviously runners up last year. They'll be looking to move on, but.
You think
fair
weakened?
To say, well, yeah, I think sadly is the big loss. He's signed for Doncaster Rovers.
Yeah, best of luck.
He should do quite well over there. They've a nice stadium and what have you. But yeah, he'd be a big loss.
Mm. In terms of transfers coming in there,
well, they signed Dan Casey, haven't they? From Bowes.
Good signing.
Yeah, absolutely. But nothing really that would.
I like Darryl Connor as a player from UCD, but we're going to go back to the argument of John Caulfield's style of play is. A technical midfield player like that, is he going to get enough time on the ball, or are we going to the players they've brought in? So they've brought in Dan Casey, Gary Comerford, Darryl Connor, and Ty Ryan will be the backup goalkeeper. They're younger players.
Kieran, there's nothing there to say that club is going to take a step forward with those signings.
That's my point. The players he's bringing in seem to be younger players, technically good players. Is he finally going to make John Coffin? Is he finally going to make a shift in the style of play?
I can't
because
see
if
it.
If he's not, these signings they're not going to have the impact that they should.
Okay, well let's have a look at the players out. I mean, Shane Griffin and
Shane Griffin has re-signed.
Oh, he's resigned, hasn't he? Yeah, yeah. But John Levy that went, didn't
John
he?
Don
he's
Levy,
gone.
Yeah.
Yes, John Dunleavy. And,
obviously, had his injury issues in recent years. Damien Delaney's been the big headline. He's from what we understand, he's heading to Waterford, according to some reports.
And is that an exclusive, Kieran?
I have it on a reliable source from one of the top football journals in the country.
Okay.
that Waterford will be his destination next season.
Okay.
We'll have to see how that plays out. But
a couple of potential signings for Cork. Gary Boylan from Sligo. I have to say, he was out injured for a long time, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, had an ACL injury last season. He is a very, very good player, but to make a big move, it obviously hasn't happened yet, it's just broke before we've come on air. One of the local papers is reporting it, that he could be moving to Cork. To make a big move like that after having such a serious injury, it's a risky signing from Cork.
And the other name linked with them, Kieran Kilduff, who's been over playing soccer ball in America, hasn't he?
That would be a cracking signing.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking with Shamrock Rovers and their search for a striker shortly, but I can't understand why Rovers wouldn't be looking at a player like Kilduff.
Well, he's a big, powerful, strong presence, isn't he, up front? And you know, I've always rated him. Thought he was a good player. Probably didn't get as much game time as he deserved. But you know, when you're at the big clubs, then that's always going to be the issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's Cork. Derry, Kieran. It's fair to say the signings, you haven't been too impressed with them so far.
Again, I like Slog, a good technical midfield player, and I think we're going to see a better brand of football from Declan Devine than we did towards the end of the Kenny Shields reign, where it was just total mayhem, really. Mm. Kieran Coyle's experience, but most of his career has come in the first division, so Is he going to be able to make the step up? Ali Gilchrist didn't pull up any trees at Rovers. Peter Cherry made some howlers last season for Cork.
He's got big shoes to fill though, hasn't he?
I think in terms of Derry, we're looking at the players that have gone out again. McInniff to Rovers, Ben Fisk has left the club, and Sam Todd has gone to Finn Harps. So,
and the goalkeeper as well, Jed Doherty, he's gone as well. So
I think it's fair to say Derry are in a weaker position, but obviously there's a lot of transfer business still to do there, and I think Declan Devine will do a good job at Derry.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned at the moment.
It's still early, John. It's pre-Christmas.
I know it is, but he'd need to do a little bit more than that. We talked a bit more in detail about Dundalk. Were you surprised with any players that left? I know Ronan Murray would have been a fringe player, wouldn't he?
Yeah, maybe surprised that Murray left because, God forbid, if there was a serious injury next season to Hooban, Murray would probably be next in line there. So unless he thinks maybe Dundalk might be looking at bringing in another striker.
There's Georgie Kelly Kieran as well. So
yeah, well, maybe that's what's done it there, I think. Yeah. Georgie Poynton didn't see any game time this year, but I've seen him in action for the Irish University side in Longford. And he's definitely a player with potential. He's gone to Pat, so I'd like to see him kick on next season. And Savo was number two. I think that's a good sign of a Brett.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. It's funny, I was chatting to you about it and saying, I'm struggling to remember any games where he had real standout performances.
Yeah, well, he didn't see much game time in recent years with Rodgers, but
that's the problem with goalkeepers, you remember their errors, don't you? I'm thinking that Champions League.
He played
League.
One game earlier this season, Rodgers was out injured against Rovers, and he was absolutely fantastic on the night, so I think at First Division level, a very, very good signing.
Harps building for this season in the Premier League, and it's fair to say we've been quite impressed with their signings so far.
Yeah, obviously they've taken the two lads from Longford, O'Reilly and Verdon. It's always a risky move taking players from the First Division. But Sam Verdon has experience with Pats before in the Premier. And Daniel O'Reilly has been in the First Division team of the year. Last 2 years running. Sam Todd was there on loan last season. He signed permanently now. That's a fantastic signing.
Yeah,
and
good
himself,
signing that,
O'Reilly and Cowan at the back there. That's a very, very strong centre-back partnership. McAleer is back from Sligo Rovers. Keelan McAleer, we raved about him. Not last season, the season before when
fair
he was with
Harps. Fair to say he didn't have a great season last season, but that's a good signing for me. Yeah. I think he'll get back to his best.
And then the big headline signing has been Sligo legend Raf Cataro.
Look, he'll go on forever, will Raf? You know, he may be, you know, his age may be catching up on him, but you know, he keeps himself fit, and to me, he's still got that mind, you know.
Yeah,
he's an intelligent
player.
That's
the big thing. I mean, what he's going to bring to the dressing room for young players like McAleer, Verdon, O'Reilly, it's going to be a big bonus for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you were talking about them struggling. You were talking about them finishing next to bottom, but I think they'll do a bit better than that, Kieran, this season.
It is still a big step up from the First Division. They don't play the most attractive style of football, which means they shouldn't concede too many goals because they should be solid at the back. But, I mean, they're going to be coming up against much higher calibre opposition than they did last year. I'd fancy them to be down in that bottom 2-3 area, but I think they'll probably stay up.
There's going to be a lot of eyes on Stephen Bradley this season. It's fair to say he needs a big one this season. He needs a trophy this season.
He needs a trophy and
but
probably
to me,
more.
To me, he's going about things the right way in the close season. He's got rid of a lot of fringe players and he's trying to strengthen the first team. So he's brought in Aaron McInniff from Derry City, player you put in your team of the year last season.
Yeah, cracking player. Good goal getter from midfield.
Yeah, the ex-Man City starlet Jack Burness signed. I remember people raving about him when he was only 16, 17 years old.
This is one of those signings there's been a huge amount of fanfare, but we've spoken about this quite a good bit on the podcast when we've seen the likes of Conor Clifford coming back to the League of Ireland, and there's other examples. Players that have dropped down consistently down the leagues and come back to the League of Ireland, they have struggled. So Jack Byrne's still obviously a very, very young player. He didn't drop down to an atrociously low standard of football like some of the other examples. It's not like he was playing in the 7th tier of English football. So,
and he's very young as well.
He's very young, and he's technically brilliant, as you said. So can he find his best the way Graham Burke did when he went back to Rovers after a bad spell in England?
Well, I think he'll see it as well as a great chance to get in the spotlight as well. Yeah. So he's never really settled anywhere and had a really good opportunity to show what he's capable of. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he'll be doing that. Also, Rovers linked with Joe Gormley. Big money talking about here.
Yeah, I think 60,000. Yeah, £60,000. But his club seem to be suggesting that it's simply not going to happen. They seem to be digging their heels in quite firmly. I think he's got something like 16 goals and 17 league games this season in the Northern Irish Football League. So you can see why Rovers would be looking for such a prolific goal scorer. But we threw a poll up last week when this story came out about Joe Gormley and whether Rovers fans feel he is the man to replace Gary Twigg, because let's be honest, they've never replaced Gary Twigg. If he's going to maybe struggle to adapt to the League of Ireland, because while it's not a huge step up between the top Northern Irish clubs and, you know, the League of Ireland,
yeah,
it is still a step up. And or whether people felt, yes, he'd be a good signer, but we'll still need another striker. And 50% of people said they felt he was going to struggle to adapt.
Well, look, he's not even signed yet, so
yeah.
And they won't want to give him up without a fight. One fella that may be on the way out is promising midfielder Aaron Bolger, linked with Preston North End.
Yeah, that one came out yesterday in one of the mainstream newspapers. I can't recall which one, but I've seen a lot of Aaron Bolger because he's in the Irish underage squads and they've played a lot of games in Longford this year, and I've obviously seen him with Rovers. I don't see the hype.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to take pelters from Rovers fans because I know how highly they rate him, but I've said it before. I'm looking at Ed Irvine every week for Longford now. I know that's First Division football, but the two did come up against each other in the League Cup this year, and Irvine was one of the best players on the pitch.
I think Bolger just suffered because the players around him, you know, let's face it, there wasn't a massive work rate out of the Shamrock Rovers midfielders last season,
In the first half of the season, yeah. They seemed to sort it out in the second half, and I think that's why Stephen Bradley's gone and injected the bit of life with Jack Byrne and McInniff coming in. They'll have definitely more legs, more creativity next season. But when I see Bulger play, a lot of his passes seem to be backward and sideways kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, great in terms of retaining the ball and all that, but I just feel he could be found out if he was to go to a higher level. I think keep developing his game with Rovers and maybe he can.
I think he's one of those that needs another season before he makes the move over.
He's probably looking at now with these players coming in, is he going to see less game time next season with Rovers? So is this the time to go now to Preston? Train professionally, that's going to bring your game on, and maybe he can prove the likes of me wrong.
Sligo Rovers, new manager, new season, Kieran.
Yeah, impressed with what Sligo have done so far. We've mentioned Ronan Murray. John Russell is back from Warren Point Town, good midfielder. John Dunleavy is a cracking signing too, and you have a story on a player they've been linked with at the moment.
Possibility of signing Dylan McGlade, there was some chat about.
Well, he tore them apart in the cup last season, so they know all about him.
Yeah, and they've also signed Dante Leverock, and I have to say I don't know too much about him. No. but they
like these signings in Sligo, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They had a Brazilian chap last year and we barely seen him kick a ball all year.
I think Ronan Murray would be a good signing. I just think the outs, Mikey Drennan, I mean, his goals were critical for them last season.
That's a huge blunder to lose him. Remember, towards the end of the season, maybe it was a month or two out, I spoke about Mikey Drennan and I said that they need to nail him down now.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
then the manager left and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a huge blow to Sligo next season.
Yeah, McAleer gone as well.
And then the brains of Cotaro.
You just wonder whether they're going to struggle a bit this season.
I think they'll definitely improve on last season. I think their new manager, Liam Buckley, has slowly been putting the pieces together there. I think he'll do a lot more business after Christmas. And I think Sligo will be a lot higher up the table. But when you look at what Pats have done and what Sligo have done, I think the signing of Drennan and the signing of Brandon Mila at Pats, you'd have to say Pat has done the better business.
Yeah, so his old club, Pat's. Yeah. So you talked about Brandon Mealy, Mikey Drennan. It's fair to say Brandon Mealy a couple of years ago was probably one of the hottest properties in Irish football. He's gone down a little bit since then, so it'd be hoping to reignite
his career. Let's see what Harry Kenny, our earlier guest, can do with him. But Kieran Kelly from Drogheda, we've seen plenty of him in the First Division last year. Johnny scored 6 or 7 goals for Drogheda from full back. Cracking signing.
Yeah,
centre half as well.
Any full back that can score goals is always going to be in demand, you know. So.
And one I'm very, very excited about is Cian Coleman from Limerick. Can play in a variety of positions, but I think centre midfield is where he's probably going to find himself in the years going forward. Technically brilliant.
Yeah, and will those signings be enough to replace Conan Byrne? I think probably.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Pats for next season. I think top four, most definitely.
Very good. Okay. And finally, UCD. Well, not finally UCD, because we've still got to talk about, but UCD, they've lost Sloggett, they've lost Darragh O'Connor.
Yeah. Will they lose any more? Gary O'Neill is one that a lot of clubs are looking at. Obviously, Colly O'Neill, their manager, has made it clear he will not look outside of the college scholarships. You're shaking your head. You think he should dip into the transfer market?
Well, I just think they're going to struggle, Kieran. I mean, it's taken a couple of... they were the big players last season for UCD. I just think it's very difficult when you're taking chunks of the jigsaw away and not replacing
especially
them.
Especially two midfield players, the way UCD play.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to be a lot more solid now next season, maybe a little bit more rigid, less free-flowing and attacking. Did that take away a huge part of their game then?
I suppose the fact that they won the league you know, so well last season. There were always going to be people making admiring glances at the players.
Yeah, Hearts were only just behind them, and Hearts, you would say, have probably done the better business. So does that now suggest that Hearts will be above them next season? Oh. It doesn't always work like that, but just on paper, which is all we can go at the minute.
Harps will finish above UCD.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Purely because Harps is, it's not an easy place to go to neither as well. So, but we know UCD, it's not going to be great attendances there. And sometimes, you know, the away fans can outnumber the home fans, especially in that Premier Division. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough season.
I just have a vision now of Nigel sitting at home listening to this, popping open the champagne, the Harps are staying up.
Yeah, they'll be all right. Well, Harps, Nigel, you
happy
take
Christmas,
it easy,
Nigel.
Waterford, I expect them to kick on a bit more in a close season. I know you're saying it's early days. They made a, great early signing in JJ Lunny.
Very early. Yeah, I think the season was still underway at that stage, wasn't it?
Not a lot since that.
No, I've been slightly disappointed, but there's, as you said, there's a long way to go yet. And with the finances that club have, they should be able to certainly attract a high caliber of player. But they finished fourth last season, excuse me. I think that's probably going to be the aim again. I don't see them pushing any higher, which is a shame because last season we spoke about them maybe being the club to go and challenge Dundalk next season, but that's not going to be the case, I'm afraid.
Well, obviously, we still don't know what if they're going to make a few more signings, which they probably will, and I'd like to see Waterford really push on.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of uncertainty there because Alan Rennes, their manager, has been linked with maybe moving away with Stephen Kenny and been his assistant. That's maybe going to happen on a part-time basis. I'm not sure on that at the moment, but he will be the Waterford manager next season. But it might have just slightly affected them at one stage. So we'll have to see what more signings come in there. But certainly a lot of work to do for Waterford if they're going to push on and improve on last season, which is going to be difficult.
Moving on to the First Division, Kieran, we talked briefly about Athlone earlier. They seem to have got a little bit more organised, maybe a team on the up from last season, but that wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, 18, 19 players signed up. Dean George is one of them from Wexford, who's a good young player. And I can't recall the name of the young lad, but they have a player that's played for some decent clubs in England. So obviously they had a player last year who had been with Real Madrid as a youth, and that didn't really work out. So you don't know how it's going to go, but they're in pre-season training. You've mentioned the new pitch. They have 18, 19 players already signed up, so they'll be gelling now over the next couple of weeks and months. I think they'll definitely improve on last season, but as you said,
there's a bit of work to do to get the fans back as well, though.
That's going to be the next big step for the club, I think.
Yeah. Bray Wanderers, we talked about briefly. The signings they've made have to make them one of the favourites for the league.
Yeah, agree. We'll move along because we've gone in depth on Bray already, I think.
Okie doke. Cabinteely, all quiet.
Yeah, all quiet, but it seems to always be that way, Cabo. They leave it quite late to announce any business. The big question will be whether Kieran Marty Waters stays or not. Now, I have it on good authority he has been in talks with a couple of clubs, but it's hard to know whether he'll stay or go. Cabo, bit underwhelming last season. I probably expect in or around the same next year, so mid-table for me. I don't think they'll be they'll be worrying the playoff places.
Yeah, and I think the same situation for Cove because they've a limited area of what they can pull players from. They've re-signed some of the youngsters that have impressed, but
keeping Kevin Taylor is a big one. He was fantastic in that League Cup final because I think Cork City may have been looking at him. Paul Hunt, good experience.
He's a solid keeper, isn't he?
Yeah,
Paul,
Ben O'Riordan, a good young player there. Nathan West has come in a free agent. There seems to be good reports on him. I think Cove will be a lot more stronger next season because they're keeping the core of the players. They're adding to it, so they should see improvement. And off the pitch, the club really seems to be going in the right direction. They had a meeting recently locally, a plan for the next couple of years. They're hoping to go back to semi-professional status by 2020, 2021, I think. Good. It may have been, and a 4G pitch is going to be going in St. Colman's Park quite soon as well, so good noises coming out of Cove.
Drogheda, we talked about Kieran Kelly going, that's a huge blow for them. They also lost Richie Purdy, he's gone over to Bray, but the signings of Thomas Byrne, Adam Wickstead, I think
Byrne returning
similar level.
Byrne was fantastic in his last spell at Drogheda, showed glimpses of his talent at Pats, but his temperament was called into question a few times, but I think he'll definitely do well at this level.
Okay, Galway.
Do you want to
Project DNA, Kieran?
Yeah, do you want to take the lead on this?
I don't know. I think I'll end up. I think I'm going to be sacked from between the stripes.
No fear of that.
It's nonsense, isn't it, Kieran?
No, I don't think so.
Project DNA. to me, it's just like, it just sounds like some kind of management speak.
I have to admit, when I seen there was open trials going on, I did mock it a little bit. It's at this level of football. I know people will say it's only the first division, but if we're going to treat it like that and have open trials, I think we're selling it short a little bit. The argument to that is just look at the players around the league in the last couple of years. I'm thinking of the likes of Stephen O'Donnell. So many great Galway players out there. Why aren't they playing for their local team? You know, they're not been spotted at an early age, etc. Obviously, finances then, they can't go out and sign the likes of the players that the Shells and the Brays are doing. So they need to look at the local talent. Fair enough, they're going ahead and doing it that way.
I just can't see them progressing from last season.
They've signed up.
They don't inspire me.
Yeah, they had an awful season last season. We all know that. But there was some good young players there, and they've been re-signed. And now they're having open trials to see can they find some good local talent. It's going to be a local set up mostly, which makes it very, very difficult to compete. Again, I don't think they'll trouble the playoff places. It's a big test for Alan Murphy. If he doesn't get it right, then he's going to be in trouble. You know, your reputation could be ruined quite quickly in this game. I'd be hopeful it can go well for Galway, but they have so many issues there. Obviously, that Saudi deal fell through, and that seems to have turned things into a bit of a
mess.
It's all down to money. Best of luck to Galway, but I don't think they'll have a much better season next season, but hopefully we're wrong on that.
I'm just dreading saying the word here, Limerick, because I think you might be going to town here.
Yeah, I've already said it. Robbie Williams, Sean Russell, two awful signings. Again, it's early days, so we'll have to see what else comes in there in terms of signings. But I think it's going to be a much weaker squad the next season. I think they'll struggle to compete with the likes of Bray, the likes of Shelburne. They're going to probably be eyeing that fourth place, which the likes of Longford, Cove, maybe Galway. Might be looking at. So look, if they can get into that top four after being relegated last season, it's a great achievement, but I think they might just miss out.
I agree. We're a little bit concerned for our own Longford Town. We think the team's been weakened by the losses. I think a lot depends on whether or not we manage to keep hold of Dylan McGlade.
Yeah, do you think he'll stay?
I'm not so sure, to be honest. I'm struggling to wonder why there hasn't been such a clamour to sign him. I mean, let's face it, he was nearly player of the season and in the first division, good young player, plenty of goals from the flank. So you think teams will be crying out for him?
Yeah. Did you know what? Why am I asking you? Do you think he's there? We can hear from the man himself, folks. Here's our interview with Dylan McGlade. Okay, so I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by the man some are describing as the hottest property in the League of Ireland First Division. It's of course Longford Town's very own Dylan McGlade. Dylan, you're welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Cheers, Ken. Thanks for having me.
So Dylan, I know you're a very active social media user. I'm sure you're seeing all the tweets from supporters of not just Longford but other League of Ireland clubs. A lot of people want to know where are we going to see Dylan McGlade next season. Can you give us any idea at all at this stage?
Not right now, but probably in the next week or two. I've been in England for a couple of weeks, so I've not had the chance to kind of meet up with anybody and kind of look eye to eye and have a chat. But I'm doing that all this week and next week, so I'm going to be hoping to have a idea what I'm going to do next season by then, hopefully.
So next week we'll be seeing hashtag announce McGlade somewhere along the line.
Hopefully. that's the plan anyway. I'd like to kind of know before the new year what I'm doing so I can really kind of have an idea in my head and be settled and be happy with it.
And as I said, everyone knows you're a big Twitter user and you've been geotagging your tweets, I suppose the word. Everyone knows you've been in the UK, and from that automatically rumours start. Was there any trials involved in your stay in the UK?
There wasn't any trials, just some training and stuff, and I actually sometimes forget that's on as well. My dad had to remind me maybe the fourth or fifth day. He was like, you do know that you have your location on your tweets, and I completely forgot, and I was like, oh, of course it's going to start and stuff. But just some training to keep fit and to try and get myself slowly back into it, because it is a very long off season, and you do tend to be twiddling your thumbs a little bit after maybe 3 or 4 weeks and just want to kind of do something. So it was good to get some training in, and that was it.
This is starting to turn into a bit of a Mourinho Pogba situation, or Gary Neville I should say, with the sponsor tweets and everything. But look, Dylan, we'll speak about last season. You were a revelation for Longford on your return from non-league football in England. surely the temptation is there in your mind to stay and build on that great success you had under Neil Fenn last season.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's no lie about it. It's probably one of the best seasons that I've had playing football, and obviously under Neil I've really flourished, and he kind of gets me and gets how to get the best out of me. And obviously under really unlucky kind of last season to kind of not push on and do better than we probably should have, but everybody kind of knows the injuries that we had and at kind of vital moments that kind of maybe killed us a little bit, but the temptation definitely is there. I've spoken to the gaffer a good few times, but we kind of get each other and we know the situation that both of us are in, so he's adamant to keep me. He wants to keep me. I'd really like to kind of stay and build on what was a successful season personally last year, but it's kind of going to have to be down to, for me, not about money, but for really what's best for my career.
And in terms of your performances last season, what do you put down the amount of goals you scored in particular? That's something that Longford fans wouldn't have associated with you from your previous spell at the club. And I think I'm right in saying 15. If I'm wrong now, you're gonna come back at me here. But I think it was 15 league goals last season. Incredible goal scoring tally. You got plenty of assists as well. Plenty of man and match awards. What was the spark that got Dylan McGlay going last season?
Really know, I can't really put my finger on it, but it was kind of like more of like a fear that if I'm not being very productive, because I do tend to sometimes, maybe when you're watching the game, it sometimes the ball might not be coming out to me as much, or just the way games are going, that for whatever reason there's just not a lot of football being played, and I'm just not getting as much of the balls I'd like. So it was kind of, it fell down to something that I want to have something that leaves me on the pitch, because something might happen. So, and I just really just wanted to start scoring a lot more goals. Like, everybody knows that I've spoken about chats that I had with Conan after being at Pat, and you look at his goal scoring tally from the wing, and he just said to me that, like, when people look back on it, they might remember maybe the one or two games that you might have played well, or the trick that you did. He said, "Well, they're certainly going to remember all the goals and the assists that you score." So that kind of stuck in my head, and I just really made it 100% more effort to say, "Right, I'm gonna score, or I'm gonna create something, or I'm gonna get an assist," and really, really be determined to kind of do that. And thank God it resulted in me getting 14 league goals, I think it was, and two in the cup, so it was good for that.
And I'm glad you bring up Conan Byrne, because that was going to be my next question. Everyone knows that the close relationship yourself and Conan have from your time at Pats, and we all heard your great interview with him on the Greatest League in the World podcast. But be honest, has he been in your ear? He's obviously a Shelburne man now. That's a very impressive squad they're building. It looks like it's going to be very difficult to stop them in terms of a First Division title next year. Has he had a word with you?
Yeah, I think anybody that's been kind of interesting in the League of Ireland has kind of looked at Shells and gone, Jesus, like, they're really kind of, you can see that they're very, very determined this year to really go for it. I mean, some of the signings that they made have been quite good, but to be honest, he's not actually been in my ear at all, really. Conan has kind of always been one of them people that is really just kind of wants the best for the young lads, and he would never be like, do this, do that. He'd always be like, you need to do what's best, what you feel is best for you. So I know that Conan is there, that if I need to ring him up and have a chat about anything, that he would be really great for the young lads in terms of giving advice. But at the moment, he's not been in my ear at all, so which is probably interesting, I'd say.
Dylan, it's been great having you on. Before you go, finally, we've spoken about social media a good bit in this interview, but one of the huge positives obviously is when a great goal is scored, it's captured these days, and that goal against Cabotelia certainly went viral, and a lot of the mainstream websites and newspapers picked up on it. And obviously there was the comments from Michael D. Higgins as well this year, from when Longford Town played Galway, and you were the standout player in that game. That must be a really nice feeling to be able to sit down, look back at those goals, and if you put your name into Google, I don't know if you do that, but to see all these great articles about yourself.
Yeah, it is good, and to be honest, I've said it a good few times now, it's only gonna kind of better the league and give the league more exposure, and obviously you get to watch back and see all these stuff and see what's being said, and it's kind of like it's a result, to be honest, of a lot of hard work, because obviously the fans and stuff only see what happens on a Friday or a Saturday. They don't see all the hard work that goes into getting to there during the week in the off seasons when there's nobody really looking and stuff like that. So it is good to kind of get that recognition and people commenting on it and really saying that they like the goal against Capitale. I think Kieran Mullooly put that up on his Twitter, yeah. And it was on like 46,000 views or something at one stage, and like you just can't beat that kind of exposure. So it's only going to be better for the league and better for people to kind of say, okay, well, maybe there is something in the league where I might pop down for a game.
100%. Dylan, been absolutely fantastic having you on. Thanks very much. And before you go, I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but I'm just saying, I was in the Longford Town Club shop today. The new gear for next season is really, really nice stuff. So just keep that in mind. Dylan.
I will do, Cian. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for joining us, and have a very good Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, good to hear from Dylan there. Just before we go on to Shells, Kieran, I believe Dylan is playing for this PFAI Ireland team in a friendly against Home Farm, I think it is.
Right.
Why aren't teams queuing up for him?
Yeah, well, maybe they are, and we don't know about it. He certainly didn't seem to indicate there that there was clubs knocking his door down anyway. Longford, obviously, are desperate to re-sign him after the season he had. But you think with the performances he's putting in cup games especially, which would have been seen by a wider audience, we've already talked about Sligo. Yeah, you really would think there'd be a lot more interest where it's very, very quiet at the moment. I personally think he will re-sign for Longford because, as you said, the clubs don't seem to be knocking the door down. Why do you feel that is, John?
I don't know. It could be just the image side of things, Kieran.
What do you mean by image?
Well, you mentioned the similarities with like the Paul Pogba, maybe. He's not as toxic as that.
I was just saying that in jest, John. A bit of jest, yeah.
Now, I don't know. There's all the social media stuff that comes with Dylan. Don't get me wrong. I love him as a player. And, you know, I'm struggling to think. Maybe managers thinks he may be a little bit light. May struggle in Premier Division.
Do you think League of Ireland managers look at the social media side of things?
I don't know, but I think most good managers do the homework on the actual character of the player.
Yeah, that's not to suggest Dylan's a bad character, because
anything
I've
but
interviewed him many times after games in person. Absolutely lovely lad and very, very ambitious. As I said on our Facebook Live, you can clearly tell this is a guy who has his head screwed on. He wants to play at the highest level possible, let that be League of Ireland, Premier Division, or over in England, where I think he really wants to be.
I'm just shocked that he's not been signed up at this stage, you know. And I know, I think he's still contacts in the northeast of England. I'm very surprised he didn't end up at a Hartlepool or a Gateshead or, you know, one of those teams in maybe the lower side of the top few divisions.
Yeah, especially as I said in the interview, with some of them goals that are online, you think there would be somebody spotting that. But that's why I think another season for Longford, and obviously people are going to say, oh, you're a Longford fan. Of course you're going to say that. I think another season at Longford will do him the world of good.
And it might come across as myself being critical of it, but somebody's going to end up with a super, super player.
Yeah. Right, any other players on that PFEI list that take your fancy?
Yeah, Gareth McCaffrey.
Yes.
Player I know we've always liked, and I'm surprised that he's on that list. Because I think there's goals in him.
There's a lot of ex-Longford lads on that list. I'm just looking there. You have Keith Tracy, I think he was with Longford, if I'm not wrong. Jer Pendo is certainly with Longford. Reece Gorman, Keelan Dillon, Darren Meenan, Lee Duffy.
He's probably been sent off by now as Darren.
John Duffy at that.
No, but you're right. There's a lot of ex-Longford there, and maybe we could see one or two re-signing.
Oh, sorry, that's Keith Tracy, the former Ireland international, isn't it? I'm confusing him with a different Tracy does with Longford, but he's certainly one you think clubs would be looking at.
Yeah, there's a few players in that list that you think, but certainly the two that stand out to me are obviously Dylan and Gareth McCaffrey.
Yeah, I'd certainly love Gareth.
Surely any First Division team that would strengthen those two.
Yeah, and ironically, it was Gareth who scored the two goals for Drogheda against Longford that basically secured Drogheda's playoff place ahead of Longford. And I think back to when Kevin O'Connor scored that goal for Bray, signed for Longford the next season, went on to win Longford the First Division. So go on, Fenn, get the notebook out.
Sign him up, Neil.
Yeah. Shelburne, John.
Shelburne. Okay, champions.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue if I can get any decent odds at all from the bookies.
You won't, Kieran, because look at the signings they've made. Dan Byrne, Conan Byrne, Ryan Brennan, Oscar Brennan, Alex O'Hanlon. Don't know too much about him, admittedly. Aidan Friel, he's a solid enough left back, right back. Look, you know, and they've not really, you know, they've
and I
got
think
rid
more
of a few
to come,
players.
I think more to come in terms of signings. I think so. Davy O'Sullivan retiring, John. We have to definitely touch on that, given his contribution to First Division football and Longford Town FC.
Absolute League of Ireland legend. He scored goals all the time when he was picked up from amateur
level from
Longford. He was a great servant, and he'll be missed by the league. And I'd just like to wish him all the best in the future.
Yeah, absolute gentleman. We broke that exclusive on BetweenTheStripes.ie. Davy O'Sullivan retiring from the League of Ireland. Looks like he's going to continue in some type of junior football capacity. He'll score goals for fun in that. 85 goals, John, in 5 seasons with Longford.
Yeah. Yeah,
we won't see that again.
No, I don't think so. No, that's a super record, isn't it? One team that would love him is Wexford, Kieran.
I've had my say, Wexford. I'm not getting myself in any more trouble before Christmas.
You're already in trouble with Wexford. I mean, who have they lost? They've lost Aaron Dobbs.
We haven't mentioned Dobbs. That's a good signing for Longford there. Struggled to score goals in a Wexford team that didn't create anything last season, but he's a pacey player, comes highly rated from Shamrock Rovers. I think he'll do well, but I do think he needs someone alongside him still. So
yeah, he looked good early on in the season when I saw him playing for them against Longford. He looked good, but Norman, you're just going to end up being in big trouble if you start on a rant about Wexford. So we'll not do that.
We'll shift the trouble elsewhere. I'm going to bring you our final interview of the night, and this is a cracker. It's with that madman.
I presume you asked him about the list of fines, did you, Kieran?
Yeah,
that popped up on Twitter this week.
Most certainly. That's actually how we round up the interview. It's very, very funny. So here is our good friend, former Longford man, former Rovers man, former Shells man. He's been all over the place.
Talky.
Oh, yeah. Forget about that. Anyway, that's a big enough introduction for this man. He doesn't need one. It's Pat Flynn. Okay, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by the League of Ireland's chief Brexit negotiator. It's, of course, former Longford Town man, former Shamrock Rovers man, among others. It's Pat Flynn. Pat, you're very welcome to the show.
Kieran, how's things? Thanks for having me.
Pat, happy Christmas to yourself and the family. I suppose we'll start by talking about your former club, Shamrock Rovers, probably the club you're best known for, really. A tough opening game of the season there, Waterford away it's going to be. What's your thoughts on that opening game?
Yeah, looking at them all, they all seem to be tough games again. Waterford, down there, it's going to be tough. They started the season really well last year down there. They've managed to hang on to Alan Reynolds as well. There's talking going in with Stephen Kenny, so they'd be good. Now, I know they lost a few players halfway through the season and it affected them a bit, but Rovers, if they want to be title contenders, I think the first three games, you have to win. It's Waterford, Derry, Bowes, I think. And then you're going into Dundalk then, and that'll test you then, see you worthy for a title contention.
Yeah, and from a fan's point of view, I know a lot of the Rovers fans were looking for that big Dublin derby to open the season, but after their record last year in the Dublin derby, it's probably better that they're a little bit further down the road, Bowes.
It probably is, to be honest. You always want the Bowes, and just because it's a huge game. But at least it might give you a chance to get a bit of momentum. And if you're going into the Bowls game with momentum, anything could happen. You have them away there as well. But like for me, Bowls just had the hula over them. Bowls played better than Rovers. The 3 or 4 games last year, they actually played better. It wasn't just lucky results. So Rovers, it's something they need to put right, because if they had won 2 or 3 of those games, they would have been a lot higher up and chasing Cork's tail. This year, I think Rovers personally need to be pushing on, and the second is the realistic game. If they can push on and try catch Dundalk. But Dundalk, at the moment, they're still a good chunk ahead of them. We'll see how it goes with the players Rovers have signed as well.
Very negative attitude, Pat, there, looking for second place. I thought you'd be coming on now and telling us that Rovers, this is the year to go and challenge. Some great signings have been made. I think, though, most people would agree, it's still a striker that is what they're looking for to really get up to that next level.
Strikers, the assign of Pat Hubens already at Dundalk. Who the assign? There's no real out and out goal scorers. Like in the league, there might be one or two who do okay, but you might have to start looking outside the league. I know they're looking at the boy from Cliftonville. There might be a couple from, like, what they did before when they brought in Gary Twigg. With the unknown, if there's a goal scorer, a poacher, they need someone in that ilk again. And I just don't think there's enough of them around in the League of Ireland, so they might have to look outside. That could be the final piece of the jigsaw for them.
Seen reports online today, Kieran Kilduff has been linked with Cork City. I know there was whispers here and there before that maybe he was a player that Rovers might be keeping tabs on. Surely he's the type of player that could bridge that gap, I suppose, in terms of Dundalk having a Patrick Hooban who's going to bang you 20 goals plus and Rovers then this season where they didn't have that consistent goal scorer. Do you think someone like Kilduff is a player Rovers should be looking at maybe?
If he's available, I'd look at him. I'd still think Kieran Kilduff is similar to a Gary Shaw. He does great work outside the box and he doesn't score as much as he probably should have. So I think they just need that out-and-out striker. Maybe someone to play off Kilduff if he is available. I actually bumped into Kieran a couple of days ago. He's back home. I'm working for a company, one of my rivals. So it was good to see him again. But he never mentioned going to Rovers in any.
And you've mentioned Gary Shaw there, of course, your former teammate at Longford. He's gone from Shamrock Rovers now after a couple of years there, gone to St. Pat's. Are you surprised to maybe see Rovers let him go?
Yeah, I was. I like Gary, you know yourself, the work he does up front. Again, I think it suits him to play two up front with an out-and-out goal scorer, because the work he does outside the box and creating chances, even the flick-ons from long balls, it's really good. He was Rovers player of the season 2 seasons ago. Didn't really play as much as he would have liked. For him, he's done the right thing and going to Pats. He play every week, I'd say. But at Pats as well, I think he needs to play with someone else up there. If Fagan was 100% fit, it'd suit Fagan and Shaw. But Fagan's not, so it'd be interesting to see how he does. But I think Pats themselves will do well after signing half of the Rovers team.
And in terms of former Longford teammates and great strikers, Davy O'Sullivan announced his retirement from the League of Ireland recently, exclusively on BetweenTheStripes.ie. Were you surprised by that news?
Yeah, because I think, I'm not sure, was he top scorer in the first division?
Yeah.
Or is Shell top scorer in anyway?
Yeah, golden boot in the first division. I think that was his third golden boot in the first division. So
he's so much to offer, Davy. And I think he's looking at playing in anyway, Leinster Senior League or with his mates, whatever it is. I don't think he's fully knocked it on the head. But it's probably for work reasons more than anything. But it was another one that kind of went under the radar that he retired. I would have liked to see him get a few more plaudits than he actually got, because what he gave to Longford, what he gave to Shells even, was so good. Like, and he was the reason Longford got up the year when we did. He was unbelievable, unplayable that season.
And in terms of your former club Longford, what have you made of their business so far in the off season? They've lost a couple of very high profile players there, and Daniel O'Reilly and Sam Verdon, but a couple of young players coming in. So I think if you look around the first division in general, maybe Shells aside, again there seems to be a younger approach from most of the clubs for this year.
Yeah, I think it probably has to be younger as well, because money speaks as well. It's very hard to get a senior pro down when you're not offering the money, and then again it's where you're based. Longford, they might struggle to go up this year, and purely on what Shells are throwing money at. A lot of players, Bray have signed well as well. Longford have lost a couple of big players. From Dan O'Reilly did very well. I think he lost their keeper.
McKellen.
They'd be up there and they'd be challenging, but it's going to be tough. You know that division yourself, it's very hard to get out of. Cove have been one of the best teams to watch the last couple of years, I think, and they've struggled to get out. You would like to see them get up as well, but unfortunately only one or two can get up.
Can anyone stop your other former club Shelburne? Because as we've mentioned there, some of the players that have come in, particularly Conan Byrne, one of the Brennans have come in there. They already had players from last season, the likes of Cara Moore, who you would call a Premier Division player really. So they look to have on paper
a squad that should be winning the title. We're not even talking about promotion at this stage. I think they're going to be red hot favourites to go and lift the title next season.
On paper, they should be. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. There's a lot of new players coming in. There's a new manager there as well, and how he'll play, how he'll adapt to going down in matches, because you might need to change formations. So it'll be interesting. I'm sure he'll be well able for it. But, it's a hard division to get out of. You're playing against teams managed by Neil Fenn, who knows the league now. Henderson as well. They all know the league. Bray going down, Gary Cronin, he knows what it takes to get out of the league and set up not to be beaten more than anything. So it won't be easy. We found it really hard. The year on paper, we were the best. Myself, Stephen Rice, Pat Sullivan, Davey, we struggled at the start of the season. So getting off to a good start is vital for Shelby. They want to go up.
What a team that was, really, when you think about it. 2014, Longford did. Missed out on promotion the year before, so in came the experienced players of yourself, Pat Sullivan, Davey O'Sullivan was already there. How do you think that team would fare now in the current division against this Shells team on paper? Obviously, we haven't seen this Shells team in action yet, but I think the Reds fans would agree it's the most impressive squad they've had on paper in many, many years.
It'd be a good match. We'd still definitely win.
Probably a couple of red cards thrown in.
I don't know what Tony is thinking, so me and Pat Sullivan on the same team. And Chris Dean was there as well.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen the club fines that season. It would have certainly been interesting.
I'll tell you, the fines list.
Yeah, speaking of fines, what I meant there was FAI fines for yellow and red cards, but you posted recently on Twitter about the club fine list from 2016. I think it was put together by yourself, Paul Skinner, and was it Don Cowan?
Kev O'Connor.
Do you want to, maybe for any of our listeners that didn't see that, maybe a little bit more detail?
Basically, there's a fines list for all the team. It's their own players' fine, and at the end of the season, go for a meal out and a few drinks. So the year before, I think Chris Deans looked after, and he left halfway through the season. So come the end of the season, we'd no money for the night out. I think he just liked it with all the money. So we said to take care of it, so we threw in as much things we could catch people out, and no flip-flops. Weeing in the shower, even one losing to Bowes was a fine for every squad member. So licking up to the fans on social media. So I think we made close to 700 or 800 that year, and I think only about 6 people showed up for the night out.
That's why I seen you staggering out of the Longford Arms that night.
Yeah.
And come on, tell us who was the biggest contributors to that fine list.
Well, Mark Rossiter paid a good bit. Because he never cleaned his boots, so he paid the flat rate. Who else was there? There was Reece Gorman, was always licking up to the fans on social media. And then we lost the balls every time that year, so we all had to chip in our fiver each every time we lost them.
Pat, that's a brilliant note to end on. Thanks so much for joining us, and once again, have a very happy Christmas.
Same to you. Thanks very much.
So a big thanks to Pat Flynn for taking time out there from Strokestown in County Roscommon to do that interview. John, that brings us to the end of our Christmas special. Well over an hour and a half. Absolutely cracking show. I've really, really enjoyed it. A bit more of a jovial mood than usual here tonight.
It was good to be back here, wasn't it?
It's fantastic, yeah. A bit of new equipment as well. Helping us record here. It's been much smoother tonight than it was towards the end of the season. Yeah,
lovely new BTS sponsored laptop there.
Yeah, we have to say a huge, huge thank you to the followers and fans of Between the Stripes. You may have seen on our social media pages, we have a GoFundMe page up and running because, as I mentioned earlier, Between the Stripes TV is set to launch in the new year. Already, without even publishing an episode, that has cost over €1,000. This podcast costs pretty much, I think it cost us $1,400-$1,500 last year to produce it. Throughout the season, and obviously then we have a website as well to maintain, we have social media, so
my salary as well, Kieran.
Yeah, of course, your severance package is on the way too, like, yeah. Mourinho. But yeah, it's very difficult to maintain it. We're very, very lucky that we have such generous sponsors in Flomax, in Diageo, in St. Mel's Brewery, and hopefully we're going to have a few more coming on board in the new year, but we really do appreciate it. John, any final comments, because we won't hear from you now until the new season?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to wish all our listeners a very happy Christmas. I've still got a couple of bottles of St. Mel's that I won on the prediction league to crack open.
Oh, so Yeah, you had to drop that in, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So, listen, I hope everybody has enjoyed the episode and have a nice, peaceful, enjoyable Christmas.
Yeah, and then we'll bring the madness again in the new year. Yeah, just to reiterate John's comments there, thanks to everyone. Have a very, very happy Christmas. We'll speak to you in the new year. In terms of listening to the podcast, iTunes, it's always there, and we'd love to see more reviews been left on that so we can see how we can improve the show. Not just that, but it'll help us rise the charts as well and spread the word of the League of Ireland. For those of you that don't have an Apple device, this year we are now on Radio Public. You can use that on Apple devices, Android devices, anything at all, and that's one of our main platforms this year. So download the Radio Public app or go on the web browser or anything, but Radio Public, and search for Between the Stripes LOI podcast. You'll find us there. We're also on Spotify and we're on loads of others. We're no longer on SoundCloud. It was just too expensive, in all honesty. So go to your favourite podcast app, search Between the Stripes LOI podcast, subscribe, follow, whatever the word is for it. And also remember, we're on Twitter at Between Stripes. We're closing in on 2,000 followers there, so do hit the follow button. We're on Facebook, Between the Stripes, facebook.com/Between the Stripes, and of course our fantastic website, which has done very well lately, John, with some exclusive news.
Yeah, you've hit some real good exclusives recently.
I think Finn Harps are getting sick of us leaking their transfers, but yeah, betweenthestripes.ie is that website. Folks, thanks ever so much. Happy Christmas, have a happy new year, and up the League of Ireland.